Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph, 1-9, Lesson 284. And in Chapter 10 of Revelation, we're going to read about the end of the story in one sense, one part of it, because earlier we read in verse 6, this angel is saying that there should be delay no longer. That's his message. And in verse 7, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he's about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. What is the mystery of God? You see, go back to the beginning of the story. Genesis 1:26, God created the heaven and the earth before that, and then he said, let us create man in our image and likeness. And from that time on, he began to reveal to man. What is the mystery of God? That God is reproducing himself. You see, and then he allowed the devil to that end to test and try his own people with all the evil that he brings upon this earth. And God caused it. Allowed it because it has a purpose, because man chose to rebel against him from the Garden of Eden. You see, now man was going to have to prove himself that he's going to love God, serve God, worship God, honor God, walk in his law, and depart from the way of darkness. And therefore, darkness was allowed to be there. You see, in order to develop muscles, you need weights. And so that was the reality of the devil and his demons, and why God allows evil on this earth. Since we have chosen to rebel against him, and now we're going to have to do it the hard way. And therefore, he has to allow now both. Adam and Eve didn't have to go through that, had they been obedient to God and took only of the tree of life and all the other trees and wouldn't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But once they have chosen to do that, they have invited the devil into their lives. God says, okay, that's the way we're going to do it now. You allow the devil into your midst, and he's going to continue to reign on this earth, on his throne. With his demons on their thrones until the end, when God is going to bring an end to all that. That's what the mystery of God is talking about here. The few were willing to walk in it, they understood this mystery and they understood the road to divinity. You see, so now all humanity is going to know that, and that's when the mystery of God would be finished. In that stage anyway. Because you still have the millennium, then you have this, you know, the second resurrection, that you need to learn that. But God no longer at this point is going to hold those things in darkness. Everybody's going to know all about it. And so it says, as he declared to his servants the prophets. He told them that long ago. So you go through the prophets and you read all that. Moses warned Israel about these matters and how things are going to turn around, where they will come back to God to obey the law of God. And then they will become the sons of God, not only physically, but spiritually. All the prophets talked about it. The disciples talked about it. So it's not something new. You see, all the prophets, he said, he declared it to his servants, the prophets, who declared it to the people of Israel, to all those who care to read it. And then through the apostles, they've done the same. And then the voice, verse 8, which I heard from heaven, spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book which is open, in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. And a lot of people, in their arrogance and ignorance, you know, they like to think that, you know, they're the ones who are doing it. There are people who continue to do that. You see, you hear people talk like that. Well, you know what manner of spirit they are. Inventing, you know, their own religion so people can follow them, because they're self-exalting, you know, instead of resisting the devil and humbling themselves before God. They rise up with their arrogance and haughtiness, and they deceive others to believe that they are this particular person here. This is the holy angel who is saying to John. He's not saying that to anybody else. So I went. John did. He did it. I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it. Just like in the case of Ezekiel, he was given also the message from Jesus Christ, who appeared to him, the God of Israel. And he said to him, take that. You know, put it in your mouth, eat it. And he said it was like honey when I tested it, but inside it was bitter. And then he said in great grief, he said, I went back. He went back to his people. You see? So it's something similar to that here. That one was given to Ezekiel, this one is given to John. And any fool that claims that he is the one, well, that's all he is, just a fool. And if you're foolish enough to follow a person like that, you deserve it. And so he said, I went and I told the angel, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, just like with Ezekiel, as it happened there. But it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth, Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. You see, go to Ezekiel, you read that, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 3, and then Ezekiel chapter 2 and 10, also alluding to that. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. Why? Because it's a message that he's giving him, a message that is not pleasant for humanity, all the horrible things that are going to happen. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Just like the role of Jeremiah, he was given a commission. First it was to destroy, you see, and only after that it was to build. But much of his ministry to his own people, Israel, was destruction, calamity, affliction. Everybody, you know, they hated him. They called him the prophet of doom and gloom. It was bitter. That's what he's talking about. So here's John having to continue to do so, you see. And he continues to write. And then, chapter 11, verse 1, I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, again, it's a vision, speaking to John, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. You see? Now, what do you mean, the temple of God? You know, is he measuring the throne of God up there? That's what he's talking about. No, he's talking about people on earth, which is the temple of God. You see, the people of God in his day, the temple was already gone, so what temple is he going to measure? Speaking about the people of God, who are the temple of God, you see, the altar and those who worship there. In Ezekiel, you read the same thing, chapter 40, verse 3, to, you know, chapter 42 and verse 20, some description of something like that. But this is long after Ezekiel. You see, in Ezekiel's vision was for the future. And this one may be the same, just like the one given to Ezekiel for the future, where there is going to be a temple. But in a vision, he is the one that does it, you see. But leave out, he says, the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, the nations, non-Israelites, rebels against the law of God. Although they call themselves, you know, the Gentile church, that's all they are, Gentile church. For the simple reason that there are no Gentiles in the church of God. When God calls you out of the world, grafts you into the commonwealth of Israel, you are no longer a Gentile, you are an Israelite. That's what Paul told, you know, the Gentiles at the time. He used to be Gentiles. You, being past Gentiles, you are no longer there. You see, because Gentiles have no link to God, no way they can come to God. You have to become an Israelite, and you, when you are an Israelite, you better obey the law of Israel, or else you're kidding yourself that you are. That's the people that he said, Jesus Christ, earlier to the different churches. You know, they pretend to be Jews, and they are not Jews. They're the synagogue of Satan. That's what he calls the churches of this world that claim to be his people. The synagogue of Satan. They're disobedient to the law of God. They're not spiritual Jews. They're not obedient to the law of God. Salvation is of the Jew, you see, and so forth. So, this is what he's talking about here. These Gentiles, they're not of God. And that is by God's decree, they are given authority over the people of God, over the land of God. And ultimately, as you read in Daniel 11, you know, the powers of the beast coming from Europe, that's how they are described, and later on from the east, they're coming. You see, they're going to take over the land of Israel, Jerusalem. The two witnesses will be there. They will be killed finally 3 days before the resurrection. And their dead bodies will be there, and then they rise up after 3 days. They ascend up, you see, and God is, we're going to read that, God is going to bring them back, the spirit of life, and he's coming down at that point, that is Jesus Christ. But for a period of time, he's going to give them power, as he did in the past, many, many centuries, power over his own people, you see. And they've done an awful lot of harm to his own people, destroyed them, burned them, you see. The people who followed Jesus Christ and the Jewish community that followed Jesus Christ in their ignorance, though they didn't know it, with all their added, you know, teachings that were not of God. They're not, you know, the Gentiles. These are the Gentiles that he's saying. Power was given to them. So don't measure that, he said. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months, 3.5 years. You see? And that's going to be literally happening as in the past, you know, they controlled that area for a long time until Islam took over, and then they fought them back and forth. That's what the crusaders who went there were all about, you see. But they were not the people of God, even though there were a lot, most of them were Israelites. But, you know, they thought they were Gentiles. And among them there were many other Gentiles who were not Israelites. This one is in particular about the end time, a coming destruction from the synagogue of Satan, the false church, the deceivers, the ones who abhor the law of God, have contempt for it, and have all their pagan teachings and concepts and ideas, and their days of worship and things like that. God is going to allow them to take over. And then he's going to whack them when he comes. Zap them, as you read in Revelation 14. Blot them out. While they're standing there, hundreds, there's many millions of them, wipe them out. They're the power of the beast, or the pagan church, or the false church. These are the Gentiles who are going to control that area. And many prophecies talked about it. And so, he says this is what they're going to do. But at the same time, he says, verse 3, something that is said through the prophet Zechariah before that, earlier, you see, many centuries earlier, at least 5 centuries, he spoke to Zechariah and gave him the same vision. He says, and I will give power to my 2 witnesses. You go to Zechariah 4 and you read about it, or chapter 3. My 2 witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,160 days clothed in a sackcloth. They're going to be there. They're going to be prophesying in Jerusalem, exposing the beast, exposing the false religions of this earth, exposing all the liars and thieves and robbers of the faith of Judah too, because there are a lot of false prophets there, a lot of deceivers, you see. After all, the major deception that you find in the Jewish community is preventing the people of Judah from knowing their God, their Lord, their Savior, their Messiah. That's a part of the deception. They're false prophets in doing so. They're not of God. They think they are. So it is for everybody that they're going to prophesy against their own people, the deceivers from within, the deceivers from without. And they will be there for that period of time. He said, these are the 2 olive trees and the 2 lampstands standing before the God of the earth, God before the Father, as he gave that vision to Zechariah earlier. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies, just like Elijah did, because they are the ones that God said through Malachi, behold, I will send Elijah the prophet, speaking about somebody in his spirit, not him, he's dead. You see, and this is the one that is with him, the second one, just like Elijah and Elisha. So you find here symbolic people like that, alive today, hopefully, thinking, you see, and knowing and teaching the ways of God. And God, when the time comes, is going to, present them before the world as his 2 witnesses. And they, you know, different people have different concepts of who they are, and some people think they are those people, and everybody thinks he's an Elijah, and they've got the club of Elijahs, you know, and things like that. That's foolishness of men. God is going to reveal them, they stand before him, and they're not, you know, self-exalting people either. They're people who are well-versed in the law of God, and hopefully young people, strong people, you see, who can take a lot of beating, a lot of suffering that is going to come upon them there until the end. And God is giving them, he's going to give them awesome powers. So if anyone wants to harm them, the fire proceeds from their mouth. That is, they're going to speak, say the word, just like Elijah did, and fire came down from heaven. That's what he means by that. It doesn't, you know, come out of their mouth. Symbolic. They speak, and it happens. You see, that's a power that he gives them, and he devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. So, nobody's going to be playing games with them. Whether it be their own people there, who are going to try to challenge them, because they're going to expose them for what they are, you know, rabbis or other things, or people from outside, so-called Christian community, or the world of Islam. They're going to nuke them out, you know, as some people say today. Verse 6, this have power to shut heaven, and no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. Awesome powers, not only in their area, but worldwide. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all the plagues as often as they desire, just like he gave those powers to Moses. You find here a combination of both Moses and Aaron, Elijah and Elisha. You see in these 2. And when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, you know, the people, armies, Gentiles, members of the great whore and the harlots, were going to be a part of them, rebels against the law of God, yet pretending to be his people. You see, the Gentile church and so forth. And those who join them, well, this is what God is orchestrating at this point. He's in charge. their sin, you know, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, because, you know, for a while they were not powerful, yet God is going to give them power by allowing the devil to give them that power, but all power proceeds ultimately from God. So it's of God ultimately speaking. You see, that beast, that power, war-making, who take over the land of Israel, the land of glory, Jerusalem, they will kill them, overcome them and kill them. Why? Because that's the plan of God. You see, just like it was the plan of God for certain people to be involved in the death of Jesus Christ. You see, everything is orchestrated by God, and people have to understand that. I don't, you know, put the blame or point the finger at any particular people or person. Ultimately, God is the one doing it. And so he says, their dead body will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. In other words, a lot of lawlessness goes in that city. You've got so many religions represented in that city. You see, it's a place where a lot of religions came and built their churches there, or their mosques. You see, and you have also synagogues where, you know, partially, you know, they serve God, worship God. On the other hand, many of them don't believe in God, and there's a lot of mysticism that goes on there in the midst of the Jewish community. In other words, demonism, all that is there. So God calls it Sodom, spiritual immorality, symbolic of Sodom, and Egypt, idolatry, where also our Lord was crucified. So you know where it happens. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days, because God decrees so, and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. Again, because God worked it out that way. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another on the earth, worldwide. They've been persecuted by them, you know, no rain, then water turns into blood. And that's talking about toward the end, after the day of the Lord, with all the punishment that came upon the earth. Still, there are people all over the place. You don't have nuclear, you know, winter. Some people in their ignorance think that this is what's going to happen as soon as people begin to use their weapons. Oh, no. Still, there are humanity. People, nations, everywhere. We've been from their point of view, you know, persecuted by these crazy people, you know, out there in Jerusalem, those Jews, or whatever, you know, they are. You see, God is going to determine that. Well, now they're happy. And so, everybody's on the face of the earth, they rejoice over them, make merry, send gifts to one another, because these two prophets, tormented those who dwell on the earth, worldwide. Everybody had a little bit of the taste of their medicine, you see, on their flesh. They didn't like them, hated them, so they were happy. They were killed. So everybody sees them. Well, today with global media, you see, satellites, television, internet, all that, well, you can see how it happens. It's no big deal to see that. And so they all see it, and they all get happy, because they see their bodies there on the, you know, Channel 5, Channel 2, you know, whatever, or any other country, Al Jazeera in Arab countries, you know. Anywhere you go in the world, people are going to see it. And then they're going to see also the miracle that is going to happen there. Verse 11, after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God. You see, the breath of life is not just physical breath, but also the Spirit of God that God places in a human being to bring him back to life. After all, they were not corrupt yet. So this breath of life comes from God. Ruach, in Hebrew, breath. In other words, the spirit that God places in them, that was in them, that was taken away when they were dead. God puts it back there. Until God does it, you'll remain dead. That's what happened to Christ. His spirit went out, you see, and God put it back 3 days later in him, and he came back alive. That's what's happening here. The breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, And great fear fell on all those who saw them. So the grave, death, has no power over them. As long as God puts your spirit back in you, nobody can kill you for good, you know, just temporarily. Just like, you know, smacked you, you know, you fainted, and you come back again. So everybody sees now this scenario, you know, they see it all around the world. They're afraid. Verse 12, and they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city that is of Jerusalem fell. You see, you read it in Zechariah 14, a great earthquake there. A tenth of the city fell in the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. They're not going to be deceived anymore. So at that point, they're going to be the enemies there. They're going to be the local Jews, they're going to be the Arabs, they're going to be other, you know, nationalities there, whatever, you know, all those people are going to be involved here. And this is what is happening here, and this is what they are experiencing. Verse 14, the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming. Quickly, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, that is, of God. At this point, God is going to basically put an end to all human governments on the face of the earth, to all military powers. You see, he's taking over. That's the ultimate conspiracy. You know, they said the Jews won't take over. Well, here it is. Super Jew, Jesus Christ, son of Judah, son of David, is coming. He's going to take over. So after all, you know, with all that insanity that went into all those lies and deceptions, you know, the Jewish conspiracy, there's a kernel of truth in it. Only they don't know what it is. You see, God is coming. The king of Israel, the husband of Israel, the son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of Judah, of David, he's coming. Son of Mary, he's coming. That's the ultimate Jewish conspiracy, but it is of divine nature, and nobody can fight it. You see, all the kingdoms are going to be taken over at that point by him. And he shall reign forever and ever. What are you going to do about it? You see, can't fight him, can't fight his holy angels, you can't fight, you know, Israel, as God said about Israel, about Jerusalem, through the prophet Isaiah, the nation that will not bow down before you and worship you, that is, and serve you, shall perish. Simple. That's the choice he's going to give to all of humanity. Either obey the laws of God that Jerusalem teaches you, the children of Israel, or else you're dead meat. And all nations of the earth are going to forsake their religions at that point, gradually, as God crushes them to pieces, to bits, shatters them with a rod of iron, you know, and he sends doing likewise, and gradually the whole earth is going to come around and forsake all the religions, as Jeremiah said, all the nations will come and will acknowledge, as they come to Jerusalem, that they've been taught lies by their fathers, and they will forsake all their religions, all their false prophets are going to be exposed for what they are, and what spirit was really behind them. And everybody is going to obey that one law of God. The law he gave to Israel to give to all mankind. And Jacob in his rebellion was not willing to do it wholeheartedly. But Jacob is still going to do it. You see, when God chooses you to do something, he's going to make you do it one way or the other, even if you die many times. That's what's going to be happening here. Verse 16, and the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. Now Jesus Christ is going to reign on this earth, but then ultimately the Father is coming, but he himself, while he is in heaven, he's still reigning on this earth, because he's the ultimate ruler of the universe, and Christ is under him. You see, so he continues to reign. No more the devil. There isn't going to be the devil at that point, or demons are going to be cast, you know, for 1,000 years, going to be in prison. And Jesus Christ is going to reign on this earth, his saints with him. The nations will come gradually to their senses. God is going to remove the veil that is on their faces to see that they've been deceived by the devil. You see, and they're going to come back to him. And the nations, he said at that point, were angry, still don't like it. Your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. Because they are dead all this time. That's when the resurrection occurs at the coming of Christ. The time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints. At that point, not when they died and they went to heaven, but at that point, when that resurrection occurs, it's at that point, this is when they sing it. You see, that's when Christ reigns on this earth. Or he's coming to reign on this earth. That's when the resurrection occurs. And he said that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, the Father. You fear him, you obey his law. You obey his law, you walk in his path. You do it, you'll have life. You don't, you're dead. That's a simple message. And if you serve him with your whole being and heart and you be in his kingdom, you're going to be just like him, a spirit being, a divine being. That's a mystery of God. And so, all those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy, on the other hand, those who destroy the earth, or a curse to the planet, who disobey the laws of God that have to do not only with human relationships or your relationship with God, but your relationship with the planet. As he told Adam and Eve, here is a garden, take care of it, dress it, don't pollute it, don't destroy it. Yet that's what humanity has been doing, that's what the industrialized world, they call themselves civilized, they are anything but that in the sight of God. Barbarians do not know the law of God, act like demons on this earth, pollute the planet, the water, the sea, the seas, you know, the rivers, the air, the land, insane people. They call themselves civilized, and they talk about the great values they have. Not in the sight of God. That's why it's going to bring all this destruction upon the face of the whole earth. Everybody is guilty of it to one degree or the other. And we even, who do not want to do that, we are trapped in it. You drive a car, you're a polluter of the earth. Not by choice. God knows that. So he understands that. But a lot of people, that just love this system. They love the global order. They love the industry of this world, the technology of this world, and all these things. And they're bringing so much miseries on humanity, and they produce all kind of weapons of mass destruction. And then others use it against them because God raises them to use it against them to teach them a lesson. Give them a taste of their own medicine. God is orchestrating all that. And he uses the devil, and he uses his demons, and he uses human beings upon this earth. And then he's going to do it personally with his angels. You see, that's what is happening here. And so we read in verse 19, then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant. You see, the same things that Moses was shown on the mount, and therefore he made it on earth, and that was in the temple of God. Well, that was in heaven, the ark of his covenant. What's in the ark? What is it that Moses was commanded by Jesus Christ, the God of Israel, to put in the ark? The book of the law. You see, the tables of stone that he wrote with his own hands. The law of God is always there. Heaven and earth shall pass, but not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the Torah, or the prophets, or his words that he spoke by the disciples, all men of Judah. You see, salvation is of the Jew. You can go around it. You can kid yourself all you want that you are a Gentile church. You have no hope, no faith, no future, no Lord, no promises, no covenants apart from the community of Israel. That's what Paul said to those who became partakers of the Commonwealth of Israel, and therefore members of the community of Israel. And so we read here, then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and earthquake, and great hail, destruction on this earth. God personally is there now orchestrating things and doing those kind of things, and he's dealing with humanity, his own children, rebellious children that departed from him when you offered them divinity from the beginning of life and they have rejected it and rather worshipped and bowed at the feet of the devil all this time. He's not going to tolerate it anymore. Big Daddy is going to spank everybody. Bring them back to their senses. Not because he hates them, but because he wants them back. Chapter 12, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. You see, it's a sign, symbolic. There was no woman up there in heaven. But a sign, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Who is she, symbolically? Israel, the wife of God. The people of God, the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what it is all about. And what is it that she's doing at this point, in that vision? Then being with a child, this woman, being with a child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. Speaking about the devil. He still drew a third of the stars, so he's giving us you know, background history. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. You see, you study the entirety of the manuscript of God, of the Word of God, you find out exactly what it is. One third of the holy angels rebelled under the leadership of the devil, who was transformed from a light bringer, an angel of light, into an angel of darkness. And yet to humanity, he deceives them to believe that he is really an angel of light. And so enlightens people with all kind of fables and religions and superstitions. And they think that they've been enlightened, they've got the great religion, and they go and spread it around, you know, with a sword and kill many others. Or deceive them one way or the other. Well, that's the devil doing all that. Well, what is he doing there in the vision? And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. So now he's backtracking to the time before he was born, John, you see, when Jesus Christ was born. That was the timing that he's describing here. Who gave birth to Jesus Christ? Symbolically, Israel. Not a Gentile nation. Israel did. He's the son of Israel. He's the husband of Israel. He's the creator of Israel. And he's going to marry Israel. And in particular, Mary was his mother, a Jewish woman from the house of Judah, from the family of David. You see, a royalty. A royalty gave birth to the Son of God, the King of Israel and the Savior of Israel. That's what he's describing here. That's a Jewish story, not a pagan story. You tell in Christmas time, pagan holiday, a time where Christ was not born. He was born in March, when the male lambs were born that were sacrificed at Passover time, spring lambs, that's what they call them, spring lambs. That's when he was born. That's the beginning of life. That dead winter, pagan holiday, Saturnalia, turned over, christened, called Christmas. All that is lies and deceptions. And to this very day, you see those people all around you that come to be Christians observing a pagan holiday, claiming to be Christians. Well, they can claim all they want. God is going to put an end to all this deception. And this is what the devil is doing at this point. And she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. This is the sweet Lord Jesus, some people call him. You see, that's the King of Israel, the God of Israel. With a rod of iron, he is the Messiah, the Deliverer, that is, the Anointed, and the Savior of Israel. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Why? Because people are still rebel rousers, that's why. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. So he's sort of capping the whole story there in few words, from beginning until the end, something that happened in the past. And then he's going into the future now. Then the woman fled into the wilderness. Woman and church are synonymous in the Bible, so that's the people of God. They are his people, his fiancée, you see, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And when you study history, you learn a day for a year, or for a period of 1,260 years, the people of God, the genuine, who walked in the narrow path, in the straight way, were being persecuted by the great Gentile whore and harlots that came later on. You see, because they despised the law of God, they did not recognize them as the people of Jesus Christ. They thought that they were the true Christians, just like the devil transforms himself into an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. They too transformed themselves into the church of Christ, and they are not. And that's what the book of Revelation is all about, to show them who is the true God, the true Savior, the true Israel. And God is going to pour his wrath and fury on a whole world deceived in all these lies and deceptions, not only in the pagan religion called Christianity, but all the other religions on the face of the earth that claim to be the people of God. You know, each one of them thinks they're the true one, the only ones. And so this woman fled to the wilderness, though she has been persecuted, and we're not going to go into history and details and things like that. Those who study it, they know it. And you want to know, dig into it. You know, you don't have to be spoon-fed everything. Verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Now he's describing something in the future. Michael and his angels. Michael is the prince of Israel. You read in Daniel, chapter 10, 13, who appears to Daniel. And then in 12, that is in chapter 12 and verse 1, he's told very plainly, Michael is the prince of Israel. Well, he fights. He fights for Israel, to deliver Israel, because the devil wants them totally destroyed. Not only the spiritual Israelites, but also the physical ones. You see, all the tribes of Israel, it was mentioned that, were the Israelites, even though most of them think they are Gentiles, they are not. You see, the people of northwestern Europe, not all of them, you know, the British Isles and the United States and Canada and other places, you know, Israel, Judah, many other places, they're all around the world, they are even in the world of Islam. You see, many of them still preserve their own identity as tribes of Israel. Well, they're everywhere, and the devil wants to totally destroy them because he knows that they are the bride, they are the wife, and through them Christ is going to have many children, all the nations of the earth. So he's got an all-out war, and God is not about to allow it. So he dispatches Michael and his angels, and they fought with the dragon, the devil, and the dragon and his angels fought, his demons, but they did not prevail. And the purpose of their war is to destroy Israel, to destroy the people of God, you see. And God was not about to allow it. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. You see, God is not going to allow them for a period of 1,000 years either to ascend to heaven or to do any evil work on this earth. He's going to bind them in prison for 1,000 years. After that, he's going to release them for a little while to do a work that he needs to be done on this earth, because the second resurrection takes place. And then he throws them into a lake of fire in which they are going to be tormented forever and ever. And it's not a physical fire, because physical fire does not affect demons, you see, spirit beings, or the devil. That's a different nature of it. While human beings are going to be thrown into a lake of fire that Christ is going to set, and they're going to be ashes. So it's not the same kind, you see, of punishment. And yet the devil deceived many to believe they're going to have the same punishment. They're going to be with him in hell, burning forever and ever and tormented and crying and yelling and all that. That's a demonic doctrine that people believe, and they are, in, you know, scared to death of it, many of them. It's all lies and deception, superstition. That's the fate of the devil, not of men. And so they're going to be cast there. So we read here, and they did not prevail. And the canal could not be found anymore after that, either in heaven or on earth. So there could not be anymore the prince of the power of the air and all their demons and the principalities in high places, wicked, you know, evil forces. So we read in verse 9, so the great dragon was cast out. That, who is that great dragon? The serpent of old. He appeared to Adam and Eve, deceived them, led them astray. Call the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Take it for granted. This is true. You see, a lot of people say, well, you know, let's be nice, let's be benevolent. You know, there are all kinds of religions. There are many ways to God. There is no such a thing. These are all liars and thieves and robbers of the faith of many. There's only one narrow path, one straight road. You either walk in it, obedient to the law of God, or you are not of God. There are not many ways to God. One way, he said, shall be to you and to all the strangers among you. Yet the devil and his demons deceived many others, thinking that they are enlightened, and they are their ministers, appearing as ministers of righteousness, and they continue to deceive humanity. God is making it very plain. He deceives the whole world. And he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, people of God, who accuse them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Be it the people of Israel, spiritual one, followers of the God of Israel, Jesus Christ, or be it the physical Israel. A lot of nations are hating the nations of Israel. Why do you think many nations on the face of the earth hate America? Or the British people, or many of the Europeans who do not know that they are Israelites, or hate Judah, wherever they are, especially in Israel. That's why. Because of the devil and his work, and his ministers, and his religions upon this earth, and his people. And they're everywhere. You find them in the United Nations. You find them in all the capitals of the Arab nations, so many other nations. And the fools among the children of Israel also went along with it. You find them in Europe. They don't know that they are themselves Israelites. And God is going to give them a taste of their own medicine for what they've done to their brother Judah. You find them everywhere. Why? They are no longer going to do that, because God is going to open their eyes and is going to put the accuser of the brethren, you see, in prison. Yeah? Special prison that God meant only for demons. God never meant human prisons to exist. You see, that's another work of the devil that all nations on the face of the earth engage in. Unfortunately, they don't realize that it is contrary to God, and God is extremely furious with that invention of man, human prisons. They kill, kill them. They stole, make them pay for it. Don't put them in prison, make demons out of them. You see, that's demonic, and people don't understand it, and therefore all are going to be punished for it. All those who support it and think that it's right. You know? He's a criminal, put him in prison. Why do you want to do that? Then feed him for the rest of your life. You know, you get punished twice. He comes and rapes, you know, your daughter and kills you and robs you, and then you put him in prison and you have to support him for the rest of your life. That doesn't make sense. That's insanity. And what do you get out of it? He doesn't become an angel there. He becomes a demon. Worse. And he comes out after you. That's insanity in men. So we too are going to have to pay the penalty for that foolishness, that wickedness that is in us. All those who support this kind of reality. And so he says, this one who has been accusing us day and night, that's it. That's going to be the end of him. And he's no longer going to do that because he accused them before our God day and night and has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You see, what's a testimony? You know God, you know his law, you know his path, you know his commandments, you know his way, you walk in it. You know who he is, what he is, you know that he's the God of Israel, he gave them the law and so forth. You know all these things, that's a testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. The majority of humanity don't like that. You see, they'll do anything to preserve their life. Even if they live in miserable places, you know, artificially being prolonged, you know, in their lives with medicine and things like that. You see, not the people of God. They serve their purpose in life, they serve God until the end, and then they don't mind dying because they know that God is going to resurrect them. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. You see, because everybody suffered from that wickedness of the devil and his demons and their works and their deceptions. And then he says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you. That's one final time before he's cast down, before he's imprisoned. So he's going back and forth, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. And God is going to allow him. That's when all hell is going to break loose, literally, worldwide. And God orchestrates that. And now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. Whom does he go after? The people of God. First, those who are spiritual, who have the Spirit of God and obedient to the law of God, and then after the physical children of Israel, also part of the woman that he described earlier that gave birth to Jesus Christ. You see? After all, so to speak, and all the Gentile came up with that concept, you know, the church. The church was established by Jesus Christ. Well, if the church was established by him, thinking about that period of time, well, who gave birth to him? You see? The church. What church? Not the Gentile church. So the church that he's talking about from beginning until the end is Israel, 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 and no one else. Whether they have the Spirit of God or not, they're all Israel. They're always people of God who had the Spirit of God among them from the beginning of time, and the majority did not. So it is to this very day. But they're all Israel. That's the woman he's talking about, and it's not a Gentile church. It's not Gentile people. People of God, the chosen people, in spite of them. And so he says, he went out to persecute the woman who gave birth to the male child. At this point, God is going to describe the tribulation that is coming upon the whole house of Israel, all the tribes of Israel, in America, in Canada, in Europe, the British Isles, in Israel, wherever they are. God is going to allow the Satan, you know, of this world, let loose. All hell upon the people of God, because the majority of them are rebels against the law of God. God is orchestrating that. That's the great tribulation, you see. That's what God, the God of Israel, told his prophets, like in Daniel, Daniel chapter 12, and verse 1. At that time, Michael shall send up the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, Israel, no one else, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered. See? So the devil is going to try to do whatever he can, you know, and God would allow him to do that, but the people who are going to be delivered, who are they? Everyone who is found written in the book. That means the obedient people. Then he describes the resurrection right after that. Well, when Jesus Christ came in the flesh, he said the same thing as you read in Matthew 24, in verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world, just like he told Daniel earlier through the prophet, through the angel Gabriel, until this time, no nor ever shall be. And then he describes also the destruction that unless God delivers humanity or the remnant of them, nobody's going to be left alive. You see, that's what he's talking about here. And that's exactly what John is describing here. What is it that Satan is doing at this point? That's a tribulation. But the woman was given two wings of great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, period of 3.5 years, from the presence of the serpent. And a group of people, obedient to the law of God, whose names are written in the book of life, are going to be given that protection. Not everybody is going to be martyred. So the serpent spewed water out from his mouth like a flood after the woman. In other words, he sent his armies on this earth to destroy them, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And until the next time again, this is Mordecai Joseph.